this again falls in line with the semblance of the leader image to an enlargement of the subject. By making the leader his ideal, he loves himself, as it were, but gets rid of the stains of frustration and discontent which mar his picture of his own empirical self. This pattern of identification through idealization, the character of true conscious solidarity, is however a collective one. It is effective in vast numbers of people with similar characterological dispositions and libidinal leanings. The fascist community of the people corresponds exactly to Freud's definition of a group as being a number of individuals who have substituted one and the same object for their ego ideal and have consequently identified themselves with one another in their ego. Footnote 19. Text. The leader image in turn borrows, as it were, its primal father-like omnipotence from collective strength. Freud's psychological construction of the leader imagery is corroborated by its striking coincidence with the fascist leader type, at least as far as its public build-up is concerned. His description fits the picture of Hitler no less than idealization into which the American demagogues try to style themselves. In order to allow narcissistic identification, the leader has to appear himself as absolutely narcissistic, and it is from this insight that Freud derives the portrait of the primal father of the horde, which might as well be Hitler's. He, at the very beginning of the history of mankind, was the Superman, footnote 20, text, whom Nietzsche only expected from the future. Even today, the members of a group stand in need of the illusion that they are equally and justly loved by their leader. But the leader himself need love no one else. He may be of a masterly nature, absolutely narcissistic, but self-confident and independent. We know that love puts a check upon narcissism, and it would be possible to show how, by operating in this way, it became a factor of civilization. Footnote 21, text.